September 5, 2012, is a Watt from Bedro Show.
Thank you.
Why for Pedro show on a Wednesday, Gray, Brother Matt, we had some rain.
Yeah, what a trippy thing. I had no idea that was
coming. You know, I've been asked to make a video of me paddling to this tune I did with Cuz, you know, Brother Sam in England.
Right.
But the lyrics are, you know, paddling in the gray, right? Because usually we paddle in the gray, foggy morning. This summer has been bright mornings.
Lately I've had some killer paddling lately.
So I can't, like, film the shit. He wants me, you know, be paddling, but it's all sunny ass. Usually don't get sunny till 11. Believe it or not, people who don't live in SoCal, this kind of phenomenon.
Yeah, the whole summer
we had
off.
Got a morning layer that burns off.
Summer we had off was shitty. It finally got nice once it was time to go back to school.
Well, yeah, I came back from Stooges' tour. And then today, look, it's going to be great. I'm going to be able to do this, Brother Sam, but... Rain
came. Hey, Sam.
Yeah. So you got to hold on, okay? It's about paddling in my djembe. I haven't worn my djembe in a while. But, trippy song.
Yeah, James Ellis just made a cool, took a photo.
Yeah.
And then he watercolored it.
Yeah.
And called it Sunshine Daydream.
Yeah.
For me, Yakin and Pedro. It was a very cool shot of the harbor.
Oh, posted wow.
Posted yesterday on Facebook.
Respect.
Yeah, very
James
cool.
James Ellis, not fake book. But we got to share. That's okay. I was telling Brother Matt that Raymond Pettibone is a big shitter user now.
That's awesome. Burma shave size.
Burma shave, everything. In fact, we just finished the Stocktite double 7-inch. It's coming out, and the lead song is called Burma Shave.
Oh, cool.
It's got Dirk and Jared Trevetich and Steve McKay on the sax.
Yeah, that makes it wild. That makes it worth Twittering.
I'll bring you one next week.
Cool.
But Raymond's also doing all original art. It opens up like, remember how you clean your Mota in the double albums?
Yeah,
but it's a 7-inch version.
Oh, cool.
It's German cats are putting it on. We started off with Up Against the Wall, something live from John Coltrane, 1963. A meteor shower, so I go after that. Brother Matt, we got some guests here.
Yeah, welcome.
Matt? Been on the show a few times to read.
Yeah,
he's got a new book.
Yeah.
Put me on the cover.
Oh, awesome.
You see that with the anchor?
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, killer shot.
There it is. Well, it's kind of two of my shots. One I just took, one of my anchor, because somebody needed it for something. And the other one's the harbor at sunrise.
Yeah, we just collaged it together there. So there it is, San Pedro Stories.
Right. Even though you live in Long Beach.
No, born in Pedro.
Yeah, but...
Lived here the last 7 years.
Okay.
Sold out already, yeah?
Sold out, second printing in about
a month. Good job.
Great.
Very sweet.
So what's it on so people can order?
It'll be on BarnesandNoble.com, of course, and then all the local indie stores in the South Bay.
And S-C-H-A-R-A-R?
S-H-A-R-A-R.
Is that what I said? Char?
Charar, yeah. And I got a Kickstarter up for my second book, so just search that name, S-H-A-R-A-R, and you'll find it for the second book.
So yeah.
Very cool.
Thanks for
having me. And he's read one of his...
Yeah, a couple times.
You've been on the show 3 or 4 times, but you brought a new guest for us. It's a Love Grotto. First time at the Pleasure Point.
Welcome.
Brother Larry.
Glad to be here.
Larry Palm. Okay. This man is kind of in the racket I am, but a little more, would you say behind the scenes or on the side of the scenes?
Yeah, both.
Okay. Yeah. Not directly behind. He's usually starboard.
Well, I'm sometimes behind. When I work for Jay and Dinosaur Jr.,
I'm behind.
Yeah, he's got such a big PA, stack of amps. I can hide behind there, and then I can see Murph and Lou, and take care of all three of those guys.
Because actually, he's got one blowing from the port side right into his head. Usually a Bandmaster or something.
It's a Fender Twin.
Now it's a Twin.
Yeah,
he had that 310 Bandmaster for a while, just like head high.
just right in there, besides the three stacks of Marshalls behind him, and then another Fender blowing from in front up at him like a monitor. Yeah. That's when Missaman got to do some gigs with him last year on the East Coast. And, it was 2010, 2 years ago now. And that was that's where Tom Watson got the idea, like, hey, Lou Barlow, would you like some Missing Men to tour with you? And he actually...
Oh, they got to... They
it was
played
Lou Barlow and the Missing Men. Right, took right. Raul Morales and Tom Watson went, and they went and toured. Now Lou, though, the last year and a half, he's been doing, almost 2 years now, Subido. Mm. In fact, he's got a new album, right? Just came out, too, I think.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he did.
I got to play with him last year in Montreal, and it's Jason on bass like usual, but no Eric Gaffney. It's this guy, Bob, from Brooklyn. D'Amico, I think. Good cat. He's played with Fiery Furnaces, a lot of people. I first met him first time I played Brooklyn in a long time. It was called, the Bowery Ballroom people have it now. It was called the North Six. That's where I met Bob. But
speaking of good cats, I saw one last night. Yeah. I saw Raul down drove by Harold's. I didn't get to swing in there, but they had some shit going down there, yeah.
Wow. So Harold's having gigs again.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a biker bar here in Pedro. Shorter drives.
Yeah. 19 blocks away.
We're in it. So, look. Where were you born and when?
I was born in Long Beach in 57.
Whoa, 57 is a good year, Sputnik.
Yeah.
It's my year, too.
You got the double nickels going this year,
okay.
Huh?
Okay, that's right, it's going on. The double nickels. Okay, in the music thing, when did it first come on you? Listening?
It came pretty early. I have an older brother that's 5 years older, and he got me into the rock thing, and... Of course, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan's show, and it was a big thrill. And as I remember, I could be wrong about this because my memory is fading, but I think they were on 3 weeks in a row. We saw them the first week, and then the television set broke in the middle of the week. And so we stood there, sat there where the television would have been, and said, "We're missing it, we're missing it."
Oh, man.
So,
did you have a black and white?
Oh, yeah.
Same with us.
Yeah.
All those Prisoners that I never saw color until I got the DVDs.
I remember my aunt had a TV that...
Prisoners! This was my favorite show when I was a kid. It was in England. The guy who did Secret Agent Man, Patrick McGewitt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His show was so good, they gave him his own show. So he made 17 episodes of this trippy-ass thing called The Prisoner.
He's got it for like 50 cents a piece at some place.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
crazy. I love him. Yeah. I've seen each episode... Hundred, I love them, but I never saw them in color. So you're with me then, the black and white world. That's how you watch TV in those days, man.
Yeah, it was
normal. Okay, so Beatles is like kind of the first band that you're kind of aware of, and you see them playing.
See them playing, yeah.
Because you didn't see anybody live yet.
No, I think I can't recall, but it was about the same time my church, we had moved to Anaheim by then, and my church... had a fiesta, and on the Sundays they would have like a live band, and it turned out that it was
like a praise band.
No, a real touring band.
Oh,
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Oh shit!
So
what the fucking
yeah?
Did they have the little turbans on and shit?
Yeah. Sure enough.
What is it, Wooly Bully?
Wooly Bully. And that was the hit song, and that's why they played there.
Those lyrics were the trippiest lyrics. Daddy love that. And they could be anything.
So that was, yeah.
God. That's one of the first bands you got to see live at a church gig. Righteous.
Yeah, on a Sunday evening at the fair. Little fiesta with rides and stuff.
Watch me now, watch me now. Dun, 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 dun. I got an organ man. He was bad. God damn. Okay, so does it bite you? The music bug bite you then?
It bites me. I'm into it, but I to this day I still don't play.
Yeah, yeah.
I can play like three or four chords, but I'm more.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of people to make music than just machine operators. You need people to prepare the machine operators. You need people to record the machine operators. You need people to put lights on the machine operators. right? You need assistant hair techs to primp up even the non-machine operators. So music isn't just people operating machines.
No, yeah, there's work involved in there. On both ends.
You brought some music. We're going to play some music you brought here. These are people you worked with.
Yeah.
Let's play it right now, okay?
It's got what I'm saying. Think what I'm saying is true.
Every morning came, out of town, I don't know. Yeah, I run for children there. Just a fear, never fair. It's like a fair. When I call, tell you know. Every action goes slow. Can I whisper all alone? Can I find the front from home? In the town, make a move. All at once, the town. Watch me, cause I know what you've done. Baby, don't you know it? Watch me, cause I know what you've done. Baby, watch the corner. Watch me, cause I know what you've done. We'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro Show, some stuff Larry brought. Started with UMI and a tune called Berlin Chair. And Watch the Corners by Dinosaur Jr. Is that brand new?
Brand new.
Brand spanking new. You know, when I did my book thing May 2nd, New York City, they were mixing it. And, in fact, Lou didn't come to the gig. Jay Merck did while they played in it. But Lou said because he wanted to focus on the, whatever, the focuser.
Saving those ears.
Then Red Cross with Stay Away From Downtown. Is this a new one?
That's another new one.
Yeah, because I know they just made a new record. They're doing gigs, too.
Reformed.
I think Jeff got all tripped on Steve doing off. And it's like, I better get back in there. And then Unsafe at Any Speed by Agent Orange. Sorry about asking. I wanted to make sure. I first saw Agent Orange. And this place was called the King's Palace. It was up on Hollywood Boulevard. Later, its name was to become Raji's.
Oh, right.
It was in the kind of, I don't know, lobby or somewhere downstairs of a hotel.
Trippy place.
And they had puffy stuff hanging from the ceiling. And Steve Soto was the bass man then.
That's correct.
Is it the first version?
First version.
Okay, because Mike's voice ain't changed yet. It was still that Bloodstains. When you hear Bloodstains, that high. And I can't remember the drumming.
Scott Miller.
Was it Scott Miller? Okay. They were good, man. They were young cats. I remember talking to Steve. He said he had to sneak out to do the gig. He must have been 15 or 16.
They were 16, I believe.
Young spiffs going up to Hollywood and working it. So, and Mike's still going. Different bass, different drumming, but he keeps wailing. I have huge respect for him. I love the way his veracity. He's when I keep going, I don't feel alone. You know, there's other cooks out there that just don't burn out. You know, they keep going. Red Cross, yeah, brand new stuff. When did you first start working? Well, actually, your brother's your first helper. What Larry does is he prepares the guitars for people. And his first work was with his bro, right?
I first started working with my bro, and it happened really weird. I was going to school in Santa Barbara and working as a waiter, and I took a week off of work to go out and hang out and see some shows, and I went out to Detroit, and oddly enough, the tour manager got sick that day and said, you have to settle up. And so my first gig ever was a tour manager and settling at a club. Which was pretty strange because back in those days, you had a guarantee, and then if a certain amount of people came through the door, you get a split of the door.
Sure.
And
they still happen like that sometimes.
Yeah. But my brother said, wow, that was the first time we ever got a bonus. How did you figure that out? And I said, I just kind of quartered the room off and counted people and then told the guy, I said, I think you owe some extra money.
Happened.
Yeah.
Wow. And here you just come to see a gig.
Yeah, I was just out, like on a vacation, see a bunch of shows, and all of a sudden I'm working.
Wow. And now, with the Red Cross cats, how'd you meet them? Well, they were in the scene, of course.
Yeah,
how'd you start working for them?
I seen them around, and one day I got a call from their manager, who's a huge manager now, John Silva.
Oh, yeah.
Said, do you want to go on tour? I said, sure. Because I'd worked with 3 O'Clock. And John,
you know about Mikey. They had a band called Salvation Army.
Yeah.
And me and D Boom put out their first single.
Well, I worked at Frontier as well.
Yeah, they put out the album Lisa. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Larry, happening. So Mr. Silva gave you the.
Yeah, so he gave me the gig and.
Right. And ahead of that, the Dino. How'd you get connected with Jay? Bert.
You know, it was a strange one. I was working for Pearl Jam. And their tour manager said, "Oh, we need to get a guy." And they told their manager about me, and they said, "Oh, he works with Pearl Jam. It's going to be too much money." It's like, how do you figure that? You know, sometimes if you like a band, it's not about the money.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. All payment is not in the coin.
Correct. Because I worked for other bands, sure. But I charged them a lot of money, and I did not like hearing the bands. It was going in through one ear and out my ass.
But you needed the work.
Yeah.
But other cats, I want these guys to happen, so I'll pitch in.
Yeah.
That I mean, music you like, I've seen.
Yeah. If you like the music, it's not about
you. UMI. Tell me about them.
They're from Australia, and I saw them on a Red Cross tour. We went over and played in Australia with the Huda Gurus.
What town?
Pardon me?
Town.
Town?
What yeah, there's town? Like five of them over there. Right?
Oh, yeah. We played... actually,
no, where are UMI? What town are they from?
They're from Melbourne.
The Melbourne, the music town.
Yeah. Okay. And... So they were on the gig, and they were opening up, and I thought, wow, this band is going to be huge. And so I stuck with them for a while. I was thinking, like, oh, you know, I'm going to work for a giant band. I'm going to work for this band.
Yeah.
And they got big in Australia, but it somehow never hooked on in the States.
That's weird.
Great band.
You know, people are fickle. Some things work in some places, don't work in others. It's hard to explain because some people get so cynical, they think it's just a formula, you know. It's actually not. People are trippy. They'll buy some stuff, they won't buy other.
Yeah. It happens with American bands.
It happens with everybody. Happens with everybody. I hear about, oh, you know, we're big in this land, but not these lands. And, yeah, like Bruce Springsteen in Spain was like thousands, and Bobby Dylan, 5,000. Bruce made 85, 90,000. I was just there. And you would think, look, Bruce Springsteen in Spain, what does he have to do with them? Bobby's been working there for tons of years, but it's just fickle like that. I got some music. We'll play some. Here's, you know Richard Meltzer? He wrote lyrics for Blue Oyster Cult.
I know. Let's listen to that. Yeah.
Why can't the fucking universe cooperate? Why can't the universe meet me even halfway? When is the universe going to cut off my head with a giant scissors already?
Daddy, you are. that does not see where it goes, cannot grasp or obey, but steps on its own tongue when it tries to say. Those blocks we face are the ones we create. Lack of patience, inability to wait. God helps those who help themselves. You cannot put time upon a shelf. God helps those who celebrate the day when each one of us gets out of his own way. To the deck, a life of shambles, a hell of a wreck. Paths not traveled, roads not crossed. Things one wanted to achieve now seem lost. Can we regain the years or even an hour? Where can one go to reverse the power cause? God helps those who help themselves. You cannot put on a shelf. God helps those who celebrate the day when each one of us gets out of our own way. Take away your hurts and misdeeds. One should do what one needs to restore and resurrect the forgotten ways of grace we so often neglect.
I fasten anxieties to plastic handles. Send shivers down to the prongs. Half folded over, knees locked, born into burned nerve endings, muscles stuck like stones in my neck. I'll try to stand up straighter, because I can't stand to welcome these aches anymore.
Two big brothers in that band, too. The Connor brothers, yeah. Gary Lee and Van. We're just talking about people like Greg Dooley and Mark Lanigan, real strong people. I'm going to get to see Larry in Austin because he's going to be out there with the... I don't know if you people know, but Afghan Whigs are playing gigs again. And so I get to see Larry in October. We just heard, Bob Pollard with Aspirin Moon. He just made another solo album. Bob Pollard puts all three albums a year. Or maybe it's a guy by voice. They all sound the same.
Do you know about his collaging thing?
No.
He sells his collages, these books. I mean, he's got like 10 of them.
That man's prolific.
Yes.
We're in the age of prolific men. Ahead of that was Tyler Cutter with Posture. Go get him, Tyler. He's got a... What do you call this when... He ain't got control.
Palsy or something like that, or
he's a good cat.
Parkinson's.
That's it. Much respect. And then before that, Big Sur, Be Brave, Go On, Big Sur, Juan from Mars Volta, great bass man. Kalinich and Tiven with God Helps Those. That's out of Nashville. Daddy Wah from Man Flu, London. Pussy Riot, Kill the Sexes. I guess they're in a Russian jail now. They're looking for two of them, though. Two of them got out, right?
I think so. That's what I heard. So you keep good going. For them.
Yeah. And ahead of that was Copy-Paste Music by GFR. They're Dutch, I think, from The Hague. And start off with Scissors by Spielgusher. Mr. Richard Meltzer living in Portland, Oregon. Frontman for Vom. And also wrote words for Blue Oyster Cult, many books. Like the Aesthetic of Rocks and Gulcher, and Like Any Other Whore, which is about his time being a... he kind of invented the rock right. He said at a time that was like you were in the trenches, and then you were just shills for the record company. So he said, fuck this. So he's out of that one. He just finished a new novel. That world's kind of fucked up, too. So I got to check out Bob Pollard's collage books. Okay. So, you know, I wanted to talk about those bands, but we kind of leapfrogged because from you seeing Sam the Sham and then going on vacation and becoming tour manager, was there any other kind of music things?
Just heavy interest in the music.
Going to gigs.
Going to
Did
gigs.
Did your older brother play?
My older brother does play. He plays jazz.
Okay.
But he plays guitar. I didn't get the gene somehow. It missed the middle
kid. That's okay.
And I got the sports gene. You know?
I was taught it takes a lot of colors to make a rainbow. You got the sports. Well, you're a player.
I played baseball
through
high school and stuff, but I was always into skateboarding and
surfing
and skiing and that kind of thing. So
okay.
Still into skiing. Hard. Living Mammoth.
Really?
Yeah. I love living
You hear that, Brother Matt?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Shit, yeah. Especially not as younger gentlemen. Have you ever wrecked your body?
My knees are all torn.
Yeah.
I've had 5 knee surgeries, but I still get after it. I still love that sport.
It's like an addiction.
Another form of addiction.
Street skiing, no snowboarding?
I snowboarded a little bit, but then it just was so easy. You know what they say about, snowboarding? It's like it takes you 3 days to get good, and then on their 5th day, you turn pro.
With that, we're at the end of the first hour of the August 5, 2012 Waffle Pedro Show. Guests Matt and Larry here at the Love Garden with Brother Matt. Hold tight for hour 2. September 5, 2012, it's the second hour, a Watt from Pedro Show.
We are come on and get it. Hey, hey. We are the fairy godmothers.
can't afford it.
Watt from Pedro Show. Yeah, it's a different system and stuff. And then, because you want to use it, it's some Chin Quan. Huh? Start off the second hour with Ava Mendoza, A Natural Way, something live from her. Wild guitarist friend of Nels Klein. The Pub That Never Closes, Joe Bouchard, former bass player, Blue Oyster Cult. We Are the Fairy Godmothers by the Fairy Godmothers. They're out of Charleston, South Carolina. Double Down by the Grand Machine. I think they're out of Minneapolis. And finally, Mau Mau's with Doomsdays. Of course, they're out of Hollywood. Rick Wilder, you know he's back. He got a new album.
Weren't there two Mau Mau's in the UK and LA?
Yeah, but there was an England Mau Mau's, but our Mau Mau's goes way back. Yeah. He was in a band called Backstage Pass.
Yeah.
No, Berlin Brats. Or maybe both.
Well, we were at the Goth Club on Friday.
Yeah, Berlin Brats. I think that's what it was called. Something with Kim Fowley or something.
They had a CD release for the Mau Mau's, the Scorched Earth and the reissue. And so we were there. I don't think they played, though. But Rick Wilder was hanging out, and they had a CD release party at that Roosevelt Hotel, which right on Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. So, me and Raymond saw a little Jimmy Scott there a few times. Ima Sumac. Mm-hmm. We saw some trippy gigs. That place is supposedly haunted. There's some rooms, Montgomery Cliffs.
Yeah, that's true.
Marilyn Monroe's and shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
I never been upstairs and shit. I was just in that. I saw Ima Sumac blow out the PA. Her, that lady's voice was like, fuck. She had nipples like thumbs, too. 90 years old and singing like a motherfucker. She was incredible. Maybe 7 octaves. They had this thing around her. Her husband used to make all the music and this thing. She was an Inca princess and all this. Journey to Exelon. Dirk's mom was way into that. Had all the albums. But Rick Wilder, he's OG. He goes all the way back in our scene. Yeah, good guy. And still in the race. Still in the ring. Whatever. So, as far as the work goes, no, you just was engaged in seeing gigs and digging on music. But that incident with your brother in Detroit, what did he say? Will you stick around?
Well, that kind of all changed it for me. Yeah, they said stick around, and so I did. And, I was studying to be, I don't know what I was going to be, business and graphic arts. And
UC Santa Barbara, Galena, Isla Vista?
No, maybe. I was at a city college.
Oh, okay.
And that quickly changed it right there, you know. And I'd seen bands and stuff, and I thought, wow, that must be an interesting lifestyle. I saw the Clash at Santa Monica Civic, and that
kind of... Oh, Diddley and the Dills?
That's the one.
Yeah.
And that
was
amazing. That's
when we met the Black Flag guys in the parking lot. They were handing out flyers for a gig in Pedro. We couldn't believe there was going to be, it was the Black Flag second gig. And they said, why do you say that? And we said, because we're from Pedro, and there ain't no punks here, man. We're the only punk rockers.
Right.
They said, you're a punk band from Pedro? And we said, yeah. I said, you want to open up? That's how we met them.
Oh, right on.
But you were at that same gig.
That gig changed my life. That was all about it, you know.
Bo Diddley just did that song for half an hour. He was
yeah,
bad.
Way, yeah. Big old square guitar.
Gunslinger.
Slinger, right.
That was my first good concert, Bo Diddley and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to play a few gigs with Jerry Lee Lewis. Killer. So that changed your life. So what, you continue with Agent Orange?
Yeah, I continue on a little bit. And then, the way it works in my business is... You're out on the road and someone sees you and thinks, oh, that guy might have a good work ethic or whatever, or he seems like he's paying attention and stuff. Yeah. Well, we should call him and we should try to get a hold of him.
It's all about connects.
Yeah, so it just kind of like daisy chains its way along. You know?
Yeah.
And it continues to this day. It's still the same thing, you know.
But now you don't, not as much with the managing?
No, doing guitars.
You went to the technical side. When did that happen?
That happened because I figured that it was a lot easier to keep track of 4 guitars instead of 4 band guys, you know?
And the tour money, the football.
Yeah, exactly. The tour money, boy.
Man, I've heard nightmare stories about losing the football.
I never lost the football, but...
But you've heard about the people who have, right?
Oh, yeah. That's not a good thing.
Like on a luggage rack, the whole tour. The end of the tour, we're all flying home. And leave the football on the fucking little trolley dealy.
At one time, we were Agent Orange was playing three nights at the City Gardens in New Jersey. Opening for the Ramones. And I decided, like, I'm not going to leave all that money in my room. I'm going to put it in the safe deposit box at the hotel. Well, they give you a key, and then you have a key. And I dropped the key in the elevator, and where did it fall? That little gap? That little gap fell all the way down into the shaft.
You got shafted.
They got shafted on that one.
You know, there's a town when you're going up I-5 in San Francisco called Shafter. Maybe that dude dropped the football. Oh, man. But I'm getting a little ahead. How long did you do the tour badge with the Agent Orange?
I did probably two or three tours, you know, or a couple of years worth of work. You know, and then
you went on to...
Then I was back. I was still living in Santa Barbara, another friend of mine got me a job as a stagehand, and that's kind of like where fans picked me up along the way. So like, oh yeah, that kid works.
So what, at a club?
It was at a community center called Casa de la Raza.
Shit, yeah, Gary Tovar.
Yeah.
Golden Voice.
Well, Golden Voice started in Santa
Barbara.
This
is where they start, yeah, because Beerman played with Flag at Casa de la Raza. Mm. Yeah. Where Gates tore our start. So that you were a stagehand there?
I was a stagehand.
God damn. I mean, that's an original daddy place, man.
Yeah.
These are the people who put on Coachella. Huge. And they started, Larry.
Cultural Center.
Okay, so being the stagehand there, people are seeing your bands coming through. And
that's when John Silva found me with, you know, 3 o'clock.
Right. So you started working with them.
Worked with them.
Mikey lives at Pedro now.
I know that, yeah. On the Facebook, I see him.
Okay.
Buddies with Silva's brother, Mike. Buddies with Silva's brother, Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
And so...
He's got quite a stable, that man.
Yeah, I got picked up by a lot of little gigs out of that.
You know what? Rosa. John worked with Lisa early on. Now I'm remembering.
Yeah. Well... He managed at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, now I'm remembering.
And that's how I got my job at Frontier.
Okay.
When I came off one of the gigs and I said, they said, hey, you should move to L.A., back to L.A.
Yeah.
So I moved back down here.
And she put out some good albums. That label had some fucking happening.
There's a lot of great punk rock there and a lot of post-punk stuff, too, that's really good.
What was that one trippy band from up north? Thin White Line?
Thin White Rope.
Thin White Rope.
From Davis.
That's from Davis, veterinarian school. They were trippy.
Yeah.
They were trippy. I guess you would call that post-punk? We call everything punk.
I don't know what you call
except
that.
Except New Wave, we would call that punk.
Yeah.
It was trippy. It was kind of guitar rock that was... Later there'd be bands like Carp and...
Giant Sand.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And not easy to define, which I kind of love. Just whatever. Yeah. They put out a couple albums, I think, with Frontier.
I think 3.
Yeah, we got to play some. What are you doing with Frontier at this time?
I was doing kind of doing the shipping and marketing kind of thing.
That's what Mark Arm's doing now with Sub Pop. Went to show my buddy's Life from Tokyo, the label there, and... And right in the back room, there's Mark Arnold.
I saw him play this at a festival somewhere in Germany, I think.
Yeah, I know the band's still going, too.
Light's going to join you for this upcoming tour?
10 gigs. Yeah. Cool. This time I'm going to bring him from Salt Lake City to Brooklyn, so a lot of Midwest. Every time I bring him to a different part of the U.S. Yeah. If you want to show people the U.S., you know, it's not just New York. L.A., right? You got to show them all the other towns. That's one of the righteous things about this work. People don't understand that we do get to go all around and see these places.
But you might not see it all. And especially on my end, people think they glamorize my job so much. And I always tell them that, well, what do you do? I work in an office. And I say, well, why don't you pack up all your stuff tonight and put it on a truck and then get on a bus with your coworkers. And then set it all up again tomorrow in a different city.
Yeah. Right at nighttime. Yeah, that's right. You do the way he does. They ride at nighttime. It's different in the van. So their thing is kind of, it's intense.
Or put it in a van, whichever way you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, in the van, at least it's during the daytime and you get to see that. At nighttime, you're just trusting that driver, man. You got to conk. You got to fucking conk. Because you got to be ready for the next day. I've done some of those, too. So you do Frontier for a little while, 3 years, doing the stock, doing the shipping.
Yeah.
And then, what, you got hankering to work with bands again?
Yeah, I did. I started working with bands again, and then did that for another 4 or 5 years, and then quit again, and then started again, and then since 94, it's been straight, nothing. That's been my livelihood.
So we're talking 18 years. Without a break.
Good chunk, yeah.
Good chunk. 94, that's when I started being on my own. That's when I stopped. Fire hose. God, that's a long time there. Brother Matt's got some spin cycles he's going to lay on us.
Cool.
Mama, do the ride on. Ride on. Ride on. Baby, do the ride on.
much.
Thank you.
What was this edition's impetus, inspiration, and motivation?
Kind of a seat-of-the-pants type of last-minute thing, because I didn't know that we were doing this today.
Boom!
But I was here and ready to jump on
it. Beers.
So, yes. That's
what are you drinking?
Cheers. This is a Hef. Widmer Brothers.
You're hefting up a Hef?
Yep. Hoisting.
You're hefting a Hef. Now, yeah.
Yeah, remember we said 12
yeah.
For the next round, and I totally spaced on this one, but okay. But I was here, so it's all good.
Yeah. Back to the story. Yeah, thank you, Brother Matt, so much. Well, shit, we're at the end of the second hour.
Well,
August 5th, 2012. Edition of Watt from Peter Show. Thank you for that spin cycle, though,
cool,
Brother Matt.
Cool.
Maybe only the third one this summer.
September 5th.
So, digging it big time. Here with Matt and Larry. Matt's going to say he thought if it's no good, we're going to race it. No way. If it's no good, people are going to know. So hold tight for hour three. People, it ain't time for hour three yet. We're going to have Matt sing a song here.
You take the sky away. I'm a busy little one-way. My stupid hat and gloves at night, I lie awake wondering if I'll sleep, wondering if we'll meet out in the streets to take the sky away. Don't move at all like a subway. It's got bums when it's cold like any other place. Warm up inside. Sitting down here waiting for a ride to take the Replacements.
You're into replacements, huh?
Yeah.
Who's the guy we had? Ward was into him.
Yeah.
Right? Ward said he... Was it Pontiac Brothers? He made a band?
Yeah.
To be like replacements?
Somewhat. I mean, that was the inspiration, you know.
And here, look, here's a replacement...
Yeah.
CD that you brought.
Incarcerated, yeah. It's a rare little thing there.
That it's got that song... What's that song called?
No, that's Skyway.
It's called Skyway?
And that kind of leads into
got
one
to
of...
play with him once. Now, you say... Larry worked with him.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, but you just skipped over. You said, well, I started again and I didn't quit till now. Right?
Yeah.
So when was your, what Matt called it? What was your tenure in the at the Shrine?
At the Shrine, Paul Westerberg?
Yeah.
It was probably in a, they were still on Twin Tone. They hadn't signed to a major label yet. And we were still in a van, you know, with all the gear in the van, and just, you know, driving every show and doing gigs. And
how'd you get involved with it?
Once again, through
Mr. Silva?
Casa de la Raza.
Oh, there you go. The stagehand that came through?
Yeah.
So this is with Bob and shit.
That's with Bob, yeah.
Yeah.
Bob was good on that.
We got to play with them once.
They were a
trip. It was at Cal Arts. Were you at that gig on a Halloween?
I don't think so.
Okay. But Bob was a trip, man. I dug him.
Yeah. Bob would put that, not that.
So they come through to play Casa de Raza and like, we need somebody to...
We need
another
guy.
We're leaving tonight with somebody.
We need another guy.
Yeah.
And jump up, go home, get a pack and jump in the van.
Yeah. How many years you do?
I just did little stints with them here and there. It was never a full on. And then I did some studio work with Paul Westerberg when Don was producing one of his records. And it was a weird time. Paul was spending a lot of money, of the Capitol's money. You know, they were having a car come get him every morning, and he was mad because the limo driver didn't want to stop at the Starbucks and get him coffee. And I said, like, oh, I'll drive. I'll come get you every morning. Look, I'll stop. I like to get coffee.
Yeah.
So we ditched that limo driver. He lost his gig because he didn't want to go to Starbucks for 5 minutes.
You know, there's critical shit in this world. You know, you got to draw the line. You got to make your choices.
Hey, there's little things that make you happy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And those are the best things.
You know, there's one in Pedro now.
Starbucks? You got a box now?
It's probably three.
Is there?
Yeah. We played Starbucks.
Well, there's this one on the main street.
There's one up 25th and Western. There's one in Vons. There's two in Vons. There's
inside
one
inside the store. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I go shopping. I should know.
There's one over there by...
I know the one on Gaffney. That's the one I know.
Two in
that
Western.
Has the most incredibly efficient parking.
Oh, man, it's terrible.
Look, it's time now to get to R3, okay, Brother Matt? September 5, 2012. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Come back. Burn my
Watt for Pedro Show. Start third hour with Worker Bee and Comeback. And Cosmonauts with Cold Harbor. Then Haunted by Chuck Dukowski Sextet. We know Chuck Dukowski, yeah. Right? For you people, he was a bass man with the flag. Then Gallucci, they're from Australia. Larry. A song called Sophie. Yeah, I said that because Larry brought some music here from Australia, the Hoodoo Gurus, who've been around a long time. And we're going to hear some something by them real soon now. We got the replacements out of your system, though. You want to talk some more about that?
I think he might have a little more to say than I do. I mean...
You always have to jog my memory on these things that I tell you about, because so much happens on the road that, you know...
What about Tommy throwing a bottle 100 feet or something?
Oh, there's a song on... it's called Shootin' Dirty Pool, and they're playing at the Varsity...
What, New Orleans? Baton Rouge.
No, Variety Arts.
Variety Arts. Downtown. Downtown L.A., yeah.
And I said, how do you get that song, that sound that's on that thing? And he picked, we were in the dressing room, and there was like, it was like a, almost like a dance studio kind of thing, where like ceiling to floor mirrors, and he took a Heineken and threw it against this mirror, and the mirror just shattered on all the floor. That's exactly the sound.
Chick ching, who paid for that motherfucker?
Who knows?
That was an old pad. I played some gigs there.
That was like, room was a different party.
Yeah, there was five stories or something.
Right, that was a trippy thing.
There was like a actual, you know, like a theater with seated and then
upstairs. Sure, that's where I first saw Wire. And then me and Raymond end up having to pick up the bass player and get him in the cab for Brendan Mullen. Brendan put on a gig. Wire wouldn't play here until like 87 or something. Longest time. It was a trip too. His name was Graham. And he had kind of a mullet thing and patent leather boots up to his knee. I was like, whoa, this is. So they were kind of
digging on these guys.
It wasn't the pig fly thing.
Like, whoa.
You know, Slim Dunlap, the guitarist who replaced Bob, just had a stroke. Oh. So they're doing a CD of his songs. He's doing as good as he can, I guess. Yeah. So they're doing a CD of his.
I think somebody
song.
Told me about that in Minnesota. It's Minneapolis, right?
Yeah. So, you know, Stenson and Westford will do a song for him. Chris Mars will do his.
Actually,
song
I think
for
Tommy's
him.
Still doing tons of poses.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, they got they're doing a month in Vegas, so.
I think Tommy, he's been living here a while now, right?
Here and there, yeah. Well, he was he toured bass player for Soul Asylum, and then he dropped out of this tour. He wasn't on
the Soul Asylum. They lost their bass man.
Yeah, he died young too. So, but
Gerald.
Yeah. So I mean, wishes and prayers.
Somebody told me about that guy in Minneapolis about him having this.
Well.
Stroke and.
All we gotta do is wishes and prayers to the Dunlap family, right?
For sure.
That's all you can do, right?
No, these guys are doing more than that. They're to put together a benefit.
Yeah.
Benefit.
I don't know if they're doing, it's not all they doing shows players. Or just CDs.
I bet you they do a show out of it.
Do a show and get them some monies.
Sure, sure.
Along with the wishes and prayers.
Well, I saw Slim.
It's funny, when you go to the landlord, he's not impressed with wishes and prayers. He's like an art collector. He wants some little green paintings.
Well, I saw Slim at Spaceland, right? And he had a two-set night on a Tuesday. And there were 50 people there, and they cut off his second set. And he was bummed.
I don't think it's called Spaceland anymore.
Well, this was, 15 years ago.
Yeah,
whatever.
I just played there, and it's called Satellite.
Oh. Yeah. So
I don't think Mitchell Frank's involved.
No, this is a 94 or something.
Okay.
So he came out, and he played that song that I played with us in the parking lot.
That's his song?
No, it's a replacement song.
Okay.
So he, you know, and then he was... He loves music, loves playing. When that second set got cut off, he was bummed. And then he hightailed it to Jesperson, you said, had a pad in L.A. or something.
I'll tell you.
That was an early night.
I'm not into two-set gigs. I hate it. In the older days, you had to do them more. And they're mainly to milk the bar. So that's probably why they did it, because it wasn't enough.
What about in the old days when you did like CBs, when you'd play an afternoon?
Afternoon to matinee.
A matinee, all
that's
ages.
That's almost like a theater.
And then,
right. And that was kind of cool because the underage kids could come in.
Yeah.
I think City Gardens was that way, too. You'd have an earlier thing. All
Gardens
ages.
Did it, and First Ave in right. Minneapolis
That's
did
right.
It.
7th Street Entry.
Yeah.
Or they do it at the First Ave. That was cool. I hate the laws about... Because, funny, at the baseball games, there's young people. There's beers.
What's the deal in California? I think you have to serve food. And that's why...
Hot dogs?
Yeah, that's why the whiskey and the Troubadour had a little hot dog stand there.
Oh, that's so okay.
Kids can come in and watch the show.
I think they should be able to. Sure, don't serve them alcohol, but let them see the gig.
Yeah, you have to drink to enjoy music.
No, but and also young people.
Exactly.
They're getting almost penalized for being a young person. We're going to play some music. Like I said, Larry brought some Hoodoo Guru, and this is called TV Addict.
Yeah, you made love on a day.
Watch for Pedro show. We played some stuff that Larry brought. Live Hoodoo Gurus with TV Addict. What can you tell us about that song? Is it recent? Because the Hoodoos have been around.
They've been around for a long time, but Dave, the lead singer from that band, was in a... he grew up in Perth, which is the west coast.
Way west. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place.
I think it's the most isolated big city in the world because, like, it's the Indian Ocean, right?
Yeah, it is. And great place, but he's in a band called The Victims. And that I bought that record at Zed originally, thinking it was the Victims.
People, Zed was a great record store in Long Beach in the old days.
Yeah, punk rock record store. You'd go there to buy your stuff.
It was Mike Zed and his ma.
Yeah, and Big Frank worked there.
Big Frank, yeah. But, and so you got that thinking they were the Hollywood Victims.
The Hollywood Victims, that turned out to be the Aussie Victims.
The Aussie Victims. You just came back.
Just came back, yeah.
Which was kind of their winter time.
Yeah, dead of winter.
Because the equator, opposite.
So is that toilet flush thing true?
It sure is. Yeah. It goes the other way. It's the first thing you do when you get off there.
You know, priorities, Brother Matt. And also, if you check the sky, there's different stars. They don't have Big Dipper. They got a cross.
Southern Cross.
Right. Okay, so this is what got you into Hoodoo Gurus. It was a total accident.
I didn't know.
Right.
I really didn't know that until I went to Australia and found out that's who we were. and I asked him to play on that tour that I did. I said, hey, do you guys play that song? Well, not normally, but we will play it. And they played it for me.
Oh, bitch.
So I thought that was really cool.
Respect, yeah.
In Perth as well.
In Perth.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little town by there, Fremantle. It's part of Perth.
Yeah, they're connected. It's like two separate cities, but connected by the harbor or something.
Fremantle.
Like
you know, I think only Adelaide was built with free labor. It was a penal colony. Uh-huh. Yeah, so convict. So maybe Fremantle after you paid off. I mean, they were throwing, this is a long time ago, they throwing cats into jail for stealing bread. Yeah.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Australia is an amazing place. I mean, it's beautiful down there, and the weather's great. And I always think of, like, if you're from the UK, which is where they sent all their prisoners down to populate Australia, you would have thought that someone said, man, you got to steal something and get down here. The weather's great. So bad,
huh? Get the free boat ride.
Yeah. I mean, it was a long ride to take it back then, but the payoff might have been all right.
Now, after that, we played Creep from Pontiac Brothers. And, of course, Ward Dobson was on the show.
Yeah.
You got to see him play live.
We were all there on Saturday.
And Larry, you ain't seen him in a while.
I haven't seen
Ward. You've seen him around, kind of.
Seen him around at shows, but I haven't seen him play for quite a time. And
Still got it?
Yeah, Ward's a great guy. He was a great guitar player.
Yeah, he was on the show. He was a blast to have.
Yeah.
Great story. Great journey in music. And this song, Creep, you like?
Yeah, one of my favorites. Way better than the Radiohead Creep.
Tell them your Radiohead song.
Is that the
you
singer?
Were there when they got signed.
Yeah,
is that the singer?
No, they actually have a song called Creep as well.
Oh.
So.
Okay. God, a lot of people like them. You know, I saw them at one of the Coachellas, and it kind of reminded me of Pink Floyd. It was kind of spacey.
Yeah, they are spacey.
I don't know their music that well. Then we heard Go Team Go from Sporadic Spontaneous Void. Where are they from? I can't remember, but I know the Scrags are from Sweden. They were next with Void Lodge. And finally, Dead Reverend with The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And those cats, I don't know where they're from, but they came to my gig a week ago, so they might be SoCal guys. And they reminded me, you could tell it was their first band and their first thing. And that kind of excitement you have with cats and just starting, I never get tired of it. I love it. It's infectious on me. And they came out to my boat as I was loading up the amp and shit. Here, Mike Watt. I mean, this is a lot of music I play is what cats give me on the, they do it with their pads now, right?
Yeah.
They don't really need the big studio. Hey, I got another chunk of music we'll play, and then we'll finish up. Because I want you to give some advice to people that do what you do, Brother Larry.
Thank you. To harness to me. Let's get it, baby.
I don't know what kind of advice I'm going to give.
Hold on, let me tell these songs. A lot for Pedro Show. Yeah. He's kind of unsure now. I got him on the spot a little bit. We just heard Lost Your Soul by Cliff and Ivy. Ahead of that was Paco and Flo Folds, Live Scarcity of Tanks. I think they're Cleveland. Peace Offering Live by Seafood Hotline. And start off with You Got My Love by Bang. Yeah. Really righteous having you aboard. And you again, Matt.
Yeah.
Fourth time?
I think fourth.
Yeah. But first time for Larry here. And
thank you very much.
Our honor. And you never knew your life was going to turn out this way. But
never,
it did.
Never.
You know, and you find it interesting, man. Stuff, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You find it...
I've seen the world on someone else's dime, you know.
Okay. What would be your advice if you met a young cat trying to get into what you're into now?
Treat it like a job. There's a lot of people that don't treat it like a job when they first start doing it. They think it's a big party. They go out and get drunk and do drugs.
Yeah.
If you want to make a career out of it, you got to be serious about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's just like playing music. You know, you have to think about it and think about what you're doing and do it right.
Not take it for granted.
Yeah. Don't go out there thinking that you're going to get paid to party. Because that ain't what it's about.
Right. What's that word? Entitlement. Some people, a sense of entitlement, huh? Maybe yeah. U.S. because we don't have a royalty. Some parts of entertainment are considered like royalty, so I think some people get into it and they're part of the royal family. Our version of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's it.
But the people who last is what you're saying are the people who work at it.
Yeah, it's your job. You've got your job to do, and yeah. You got to do it right. And the people, other people depending on you to do it right.
Yeah, that too, right. Right, counting on you. What do you see in the future for you? You got Dino Tour right now.
I'm doing Dino and Afghan Wigs both at the same time.
It's stereo.
Intertwining. And I got Dino coming up this weekend.
Right.
And then I go back out with the Wigs until middle of November, and then it's ski season.
Right on. So it's Larry time.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So bitching having you aboard. Thank you for joining me, Brother Matt, here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
Very
San Pedro. North of the equator, west of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. Like, you know, cats are counting on you. Respect. Matt, good luck on book number two.
Yeah.
People look for him on the internet. S-C-H-A-R-A-R. Matt.
Minus the C.
Get it on Barnes.
Yeah, no C. No C. What's wrong with me?
S-H-A-R-A-R.
It's been the September, see, I got that right, 5th, 2012 edition of Wofford Peter Show. Everybody, Brother Matt, thank you again for you once.
Right on.
Always essential aid and abandoned.
Right on. Anytime. My pleasure.
Keep your powder dry.
Cool.